So hi all, welcome to episode 23 of the Game Week Navigators. I am Aditya and I have Leon with me. We are back to look at Game Week 12 after a very miserable, forgettable, blankable Game Week 11. What a surprising week it was, Game Week 11. We've seen a lot of managers laughing at each other, and at the end of the day, everyone had to laugh at ourselves because nothing went our way. Except those Kabore Archer points, those who got off the bench. I know one manager, we both of us know a manager who got very lucky, but also unlucky in terms of a chip he played on. So we shouldn't poke fun of him at the moment here. So so how was Game Week 11? How bad was it?
For me, it's okay because I think for three game weeks now, I've been keeping the same rank, which means it's a gray arrow for me. For almost three game weeks, I think three or four game weeks now. So, yeah, I'm around the average point. So just I think this might be a game week to finally push up the rank. Hopefully,
every week turns out to be like this is the week we have to push up. And after I wildcarded, I mean the game week 9 when I wildcarded, it started to look in the right direction, started to move. But then I'm just getting continuous two consecutive weeks red arrow, and it's like everybody's stuck at a particular point where nothing is working out.
So yeah, do you think that the wildcard is a correct decision, or do you regret wildcarding that game week?
I don't regret because I had to get in Salah, and there was a lot of other things I had to change. I had to get rid of United players, and I mean it's fine. Hindsight, I mean you can assume that you could have done better decisions here and there, but I'm not really worried, and I think I'm in a comfortable position for this week.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah, I just had to check that currently how many people have used their wildcard, and not really sure. I think more than 50%, I assume, yes, have used at least the wildcard. Yeah, I just had to check, maybe 71%. If not mistaken, have used up the wildcard. So the rest
Man City Brentford, I think when you have that, mm-hmm. that blank and the double, I think that's going to happen, right? Towards the end of this, I think game week 18, 19-ish mm-hmm. is where I think we'll see. I mean, 19 is potentially the last time you can wildcard. So I think we'll see a lot of managers do that.
Yeah, that's probably my plan as well. Mm.
Drive it till the end. Okay, anyways, let's not talk a lot of long term. Let's look at the talking points, and we just briefly cover up the transfers that have been made. We look at the Game Week 12 fixtures a little bit in brief, but we'll focus more on some of the dilemmas that we've noted down for this week. Address captaincy. This week, captaincy is not straightforward based on the fixtures that we have, but there are a few straightforward options. We'll just go through them and the others and look at our best teams. That being said, let's look at the transfer trends that we have, and let's look at the transfers out, I would say, rather than the ins. But if you see the outs, we have Dan Burn, who's out for at least 3 months, is what we've heard. Mm-hmm. Haaland is a very funny one because he scored a brace against Young Boys. So I think that's pretty much, I don't know why so many managers are transferring out. And then we have obviously Kuti Romero, who is suspended. Madison, he's, I think, Arne said that he should be fine to play. So he should be back. And I think Odegaard will have to, I don't know what exactly happened with Odegaard yesterday, I think, but I think he should be back. He was just benched as a precaution in the weekend, but I think he should be back. So transfer ins, right? A lot of funny names we have. Doku was just like, assist after assist, goal after goal. And we have Mitchell, who scored. Bowen, who scored. And obviously, the Crystal Palace players are being transferred in, probably for Dan Burn, is what I'm guessing. So, anything you've learned from this, looking at these trends?
Yeah, if you look at the transfers out, as you say just now, we wonder why people are selling Haaland. But it's definitely people are not selling him after the Champions League game. I think most of people sold him because of injury panic. I think they thinking that he's going to drop in price or something. That's why they sold him early, or maybe just pure frustration after, people captained him or even triple captained him, and then he gives us the 1 point, then people start just straight away sell him without much thinking. And also, Maddison, I think we just saw the England squad that he and Saka is in. So I think the injuries should be not that serious. Odegaard, I'm not sure. I think he should be fine as well. Just that the transfers in, of course, Doku is this week's shiny new toys. Every week we have one. So this week, again, people are looking at his haul and then thinking that he'll do that again, especially after the Champions League yesterday where he was benched and Grealish played on the left. So people expect him to start again this weekend. And Nketiah as well is interesting because we are not really sure that he will start against Burnley. I think he isn't on the bench as well in the Champions League game. I'm just really surprised that people are bringing him in because Jesus is, I think, is close to being back as well. I think maybe after the international break, we don't know much about that. And the Crystal Palace defender, again, is interesting because you see Mitchell, he's not really, he's a fullback, of course, but he don't really bomb forward like all the other fullbacks that we have. And we look at his past season attacking returns, past three seasons that he really played a lot of minutes. He only have two and three attacking with returns per season. So in this season, he already have two assists. So you can't really expect a lot from him in terms of attacking returns. And even more puzzling is Anderson is now 5.1 million. And in my opinion, as we have discussed in the past two game weeks, he's not really worth that much of money. And people are still bringing him in when in that kind of price point, you can get players like Cash, Saliba, Shah or Poro with that price. So why are you going Anderson? I think the only answer we have is probably Palace good fixtures coming up, but eventually the fixtures will run out. So what do we do right then? Right. So I think that's all for. I think most of them is surprised me so far. Doku and Akitia as the top transfer, and also Haaland as the top transfers out. I think Haaland. I don't know because I have a feeling that he's going to do well this game week.
Let's see. I mean, we've all got burnt a lot of times over the last few weeks, but I just cross-checked that Saka got subbed off for a precaution. It was a precautionary sub. And Eddie and Ketia may be back against Burnley, and the same goes with Odegaard. So both of them are maybe touch and go, but that's what Arteta is saying, that they should be back against Burnley. But about Saka, we need to wait and see. But he said that it was a precautionary sub, that they didn't want to kind of aggravate it into anything.
So yeah, I was surprised that Saka is not in the top transfers because if you look at Twitter, everyone's pre-planned move is to bring Saka in for game week 12 and to attack the upcoming fixtures. But I think maybe the injury sort of put people off a bit, which is why he's not here.
Maybe that's the thing. That's how it works. Anyways, let's look at the fixtures that we have for game week 12 and then we'll focus more on the dilemma. So, I mean, we have a couple of interesting games here. Obviously, being the game of the week is arguably Chelsea against Man City. But other than that, we have Wolves playing Spurs. That's the first game of this game week. And that's going to be a good game to see. I think it's going to be a tough game for Spurs. The Wolves are just going to completely sit back. Arsenal play at home against Burnley. Palace play against Everton. I think I'm expecting many managers to get in a Palace defender and someone like Calvert-Lewin ending up going and scoring. And just so funny things will happen. United play against Luton. Yes, after a 4-3 defeat against Copenhagen, we play Luton at home. But we did win our last game 1-0 against Fulham. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch in terms of purely football, not FPL wise. But although we have Bruno as our cover, but I mean, we'll talk about that later. And then obviously we have Bournemouth against Newcastle. I think Leong is very excited for that game.
Yeah, I think we have the games this week. We can probably categorize them into two categories. The first one is, of course, we have two the most injured squad in the Premier League right now, which is Spurs and also Newcastle. And both are playing away. So you mentioned just now Wolf might sit back. I might see them attack Spurs, especially with Spurs not having the three key defenders around. And also Newcastle traveling to Bournemouth with us, I think having just 13 first team players right now available for selection. I think we'll look at that later. So Bournemouth away, I think, is very difficult for Newcastle to keep clean sheet as well. So these are two tough games away for the injury plagued squads. And also the second category I would like to say is the lopsided home games that we have, which are the very strong sides like uneven games. I would say Arsenal, Man United, Villa, Liverpool, Brighton, all of them are home against weaker sides. So I can see all five of them probably take 3 points. And finally, the match of the week, Chelsea against Man City. So on paper, Chelsea is playing at home, but if you look at their home records this season, it's not that good. They have lost to Forest, Villa, and also Brentford. So I think it's an opportunity that Man City would take before the international break.
They will. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always remembered in the past, it used to be KDB used to go and score and against Chelsea always. So yeah, as you said, we have a couple of interesting games, the teams that are playing at home. Villa against Fulham, is we all are kind of disappointed with the blanks that we got. And obviously Brighton play Sheffield, Liverpool play Brentford, West Ham against Forest, a lot of people getting in Bowen. Although Bowen is someone who scores well away from home. So a lot of weird things there. But this game week, I mean, a lot of things to look for, especially how bad game week 11 went for most of us. Mm-hmm. And for all of us, probably. So there's a lot to look for here. And some interesting games. Just need to hope that our players, you know, get the points.
Yeah, I heard a lot from people saying that the lower the point you get in game week 11, then the higher you score in game week 12. We'll see if that really happened.
You see, I mean,
yeah.
That's a funny one for me. Anyways, anything you want to touch upon here before we go and spend most of the time?
I think we are good.
We're good with some of the fixtures. Okay, fine. We're done with the fixtures. Let's look at the dilemmas. Okay, I leave it to you, the first one.
Yeah, I just feel that we have to talk about the mental aspect of FPL after the disastrous game week 11 that most of us have. So I've seen a lot of people, you know, as usual, moaning a lot after their game weeks. You know, I've seen some single digit scores, and I even saw some negative scores as well. You know, from the if you own Romero and Udogi, you'll get really low score, especially it stops Caboro and Archer from coming in as well. And then your bench will be higher score probably than your first team. So a lot of people got frustrated by that. And I've seen some that they have completely given up on FPL and even as usual threatened to quit the team and just leave it as usual. But then I just have some probably not really advice, but just some discussion on the mental health aspect. Probably some tips as well if you are really struggling right now. So first of all, I just say that we have to not be too harsh on ourselves, because I feel that a lot of managers they put the blame on themselves for not doing well. But I believe that there's no way you can predict what happened last game week. You know, the highest scorer, as we can see last game week, is Doku, Jackson, Toffolo, Mitchell. I think if you give them a chance to pick again, they won't even consider buying or captaining those players, right? So there's we are not the people that we can predict the future. This is why FPL is so fun. So the second advice is probably we have to know that variance happens all the time. So there's no one player, not even Haaland or Salah, that can haul every game week. So the important thing, as we keep on saying, is we need to put more emphasis on our decision making. Just keep on making the right decision and eventually the correct outcome will happen. And then the third thing is I see a lot of people focusing on their rank and put a lot of attention on and having a good rank, overall rank, or even game week rank. Then if they have a bad game week, then they feel down. You know, if they are bad, I feel that if your rank is bad right now, it shouldn't be a factor to quit your game. I feel it's opposite. You should take it as a challenge to test your ability to come back and to come back stronger. Because if you are a really good FPL manager, then you should be able to bounce back from a really bad rank. Even if you end the season as with a real bad rank, I think if you look back from the next 10 years, and I don't think it's something that really matter, because there's always next season, right? And finally, you need to go back to why you are playing FPL, because if FPL is seriously affecting your mental health, you know, like making you sad, making you affecting your life, affecting your work life and everything, then I think you have to go back to thinking why you started playing at FPL. Is it for fun or to challenge yourself, or you just want FPL to make you suffer? Yeah, I think these are the things that people should look if they feel really down from game week 11, because I don't think it's a permanent thing. You can always come back from it. Yeah. Yes, anything you want to add?
I mean, there have been times. Maybe earlier, let's say maybe 2-3 years back, I was someone who was very serious, and if I had bad game weeks, I would feel a bit bad. But over the years, what has happened is I've just learned to ignore. I'm sitting in, my rank is around like 2.9 mil now. I was so close to 2.5, 2.4, was going down, but went the wrong way. But I'm not really that bothered.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not affecting me. It's just how you take it up. It's just a game at the end of the day. It's not something that your life depends on. And you shouldn't take it that seriously that it goes and affects your head. So, I mean, we're all playing for fun. I just opened up Twitter today and I was actually seeing so many matches on 1 point, 2 points. With all minus four of Romero and Udogie, and I was like, okay, that's worse. At least I scored 20, 25 odd points, which is better. That's it.
maybe you can. Sometimes if you get like negative points, maybe you should look at the bright side of things. Like you have Tsimikas for 1 point, and then maybe you sold Udogie and bring in Tsimikas. Then you have scored actually a net 5 points from that. Right, 1 point versus negative four. So it's another way to look at things positively instead of just delving on the negative sides of things. Yeah, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll go to the next one.
We are perfectly fine.
Yeah, so I think we are fine. One. Yeah. So Arsenal.
We don't have Sankalp to answer this favorite question, but I think I will. If he's probably in the chat, he may answer this. I don't know if he's watching it or he'll answer it later.
Yeah.
But I feel it's Saka is someone who is definitely a like, first option, and second is Saliba. These are the two players that you have the money to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think these are the two players that you should look to get in, probably. But other than that, I'm not sure. The issue with Gabriel is that we don't know. Like the odd benching was probably a rest is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who don't want to take a gamble, it's better you don't go that way. Obviously, you have Odegaard once he's back, Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus. So there are a lot of other options here and there, but I think Saka and Saliba are the two best options.
Yeah, maybe we should just look at Arsenal's fixtures as well, if we can go to the fixtures list. Yeah, so you see we have Burnley, Brentford, Wolves and Luton. Of course, this is the four games that we mentioned just now. They have favourable fixtures. But after that, they have a tough run. Aston Villa, Brighton, Liverpool and West Ham. So people are saying about tripling on Arsenal. I think that would be like going overboard because we don't have a lot of good options right now in the Arsenal team. And they don't really do that well in attackingly so far. If you look at the attacking stats, they are only seventh in terms of XG for team XG right now, when they were fourth last season. So I think there's a slight drop in terms of attacking stats, but their defense is as solid as last season. Probably I would recommend going with one defense and one attack or midfield player. So as you mentioned just now, Saliba, if you have him, of course, it's a keep, but then Gabriel, of course, it depends if you want to take a gamble on it. I still think he's a very good option. I think he'll still start the majority of upcoming games. Midfield, probably if you have Saka, he might play. I think he might probably start the next one. The injury doesn't look that serious, but we'll wait for the press conference. Martinelli looks good again. He has an assist, I think, that the Champions League game. So other than that, I don't see any other choices. I think Suncup might want to recommend Nketiah into this game. I know he's cheap, and I think you can get him, but when Jesus is back, then if you don't mind having him on the bench, then yeah, I think it's fine because he's still cheap enough to bench. And yeah, but we are not sure if Nketiah will start, but if he starts against Burnley, I think it's a very good opportunity for him to haul, because if based on his previous record, he does really well against those weaker sides.
He's someone that if he's fit, I think a lot of managers go for him for a 1 week punt or so.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even until Gabriel Jesus is back. So more or less he might be back post international break is what we've heard. So we'll see on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think as we said, I think the easy answer would be Saliba and Saka. And those are the two ideal options.
Mm-hmm.
Next we go to your beloved Newcastle. So can we rely on Newcastle players with a lengthy injury list, or will fatigue become a significant concern?
Yeah, so I've actually done the slides on the Newcastle injury list, so maybe we can go to that. The last one. So yeah, this is as you can see, this is a 11 player squad minus the goalkeeper. So this is, if you look at without knowing our injury, we probably think that this is our starting lineup for this game week. But it's not, because these are the players that won't be available for this game week. So we look from the back. Pope is fine, luckily. But we start on the centre back department. So Botman and Burn is out. So the only fit centre backs we have now is Lascelles and Shah. But if one of them needs rest or is injured, then probably we have to play Dammit, which is not ideal. So there are some questions saying that in the Champions League game, Hall started at left back, and then after halftime he was sub out because he had an early yellow card. So Eddie Howe don't want to risk him picking up the second yellow, which he subbed him off, and he played Trippier actually on the left as a left back, which is the first time of this season. And Livramento started on right wing, but after halftime, he shifted Livramento to right back. So it's a change of formation, and I see people start worrying a lot on Twitter, saying that they are worried that Trippier might play on the left back a lot permanently. So I don't think this is a concern, because I think for the first time in his Newcastle career, he actually played there in the left back, even though he does it many times for England. So I still believe that this game week will start with Hall on the left back and Trippier on the right back. So those Trippier owners, I think you can keep him and don't worry about him, because if he plays on the left, it actually limits his attacking potential a lot, because he's right-footed and he put those crosses in. So if he plays at left back, then he probably won't put that much. Maybe he'll play inverted. I don't know how. So also we have the natural replacement for Burn, which is Target, also injured. So right now Hall is the only left back we have, and Livramento, he haven't played at left back. I think I've checked throughout his career, even at Southampton, he haven't played at left back. So our options are really limited there. And in midfield, unfortunately, Bruno is suspended. So it makes it even worse, because we already have Tonali out and also Anderson out long term. So right now we only have, I think, three fit midfielders to play, which are Longstaff, Willock and Joe Linton. So they have to play there. And if we need to sub someone in, then we have to sub Miley. We probably haven't heard of Miley as well. So but he's a really bright player. So if we need him, I think he'll be a good replacement as well. And in terms of attack, this will be a headache because Wilson, as you know, picked up an injury as well in the Champions League game. We are not sure if he's fit to start. And we only have two strikers. Wilson and Isaac is out. So who will play the center position? Probably Gordon will play there. And Almiron was rested in Champions League, so he probably will play the right wing. But he has played in the left as well. So if Gordon played at the center, then Almiron probably can play on the left and Livramento can play on the right. So we are really out of options here. Probably 11 starters and two backups that can come in. So I see a lot of worry that the team might be burn out, you know, playing two games a week, three games a week. In contrast to last season, when we have a small squad, but we only have the Premier League and the Cups to worry about. And we are still in contention for the next round of qualification for Champions League. So Eddie Howe has, he himself has said that he's forced to play certain players, even though, like, for example, Willock, he just came back from injury, but he's forced to come in to play more minutes than expected as well. Good news is Isak is expected to be back after international break, so he'll take some burden off Wilson, so we'll have our strikers back again. But for now, I think if you look at the run of fixtures again for Newcastle's run of fixtures, we have Bournemouth. You see Chelsea and Man United after the Bournemouth game, but both of these games are actually at home, so I wouldn't worry too much about it because Newcastle's home form is quite strong this season. And after that, we have Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Luton, Forest. So I see only Spurs away as the only tough game in this run. So I think we can cope really well, quite well, I think. The international break come a good time for us. So I would advise just to wait for more injury updates, more players to return maybe. But the worrisome things is that a lot of players are out for quite long, a few months, 2-3 months. Those are not short injuries. For example, key players like Botman as well. So I think the worry that we might get burned out is quite valid. Yeah, so for the time being, I wouldn't advise people to start bringing in Newcastle players. But if you have them, then I think you can keep them, especially Trippier. I don't see there's any worry about him moving on to the left-back position.
So you expect Hall to play as the left-back, right? You don't expect Livramento to play at the right and Trippier to the left?
Yeah, because Howe actually mentioned that the only reason that he brings Hall off is not because he doesn't perform, but it's just because of that yellow card. So I think he'll continue to play there at the left.
And I'll just check the next step here. Okay. So what do we do in terms of, in case of those who have Dan Burn, like even I have Burn, what do we do? Do we get him out for which player? Because I was looking at it, and obviously you have Lascelles at 4, right? Who also is, I think, not a bad shout until he's back.
Yeah, before this, I wouldn't recommend Lascelles because we are not sure that how long Botman is. But I think if with Botman out for long and then short of options, yeah, I think Lascelles will play there quite a few months now. So I think with his price point before his rise, I think you can still maybe keep him or buy him in.
So if you don't go the Newcastle way, then getting in someone like, I think we're going to see a lot of people getting Palace defenders. That's what we saw even in the trends. So we're going to see a lot of managers getting in Gehi or Mitchell or Anderson. I think that's what is going to happen, or that's what is happening. So I think they're really clear with the moves that need to be made. Okay, we're done with Newcastle. Let's look at the next one. That despite Brighton's winless streak in the last 5 games, is it sensible to consider the players, especially Mitoma? Now, I have Mitoma in my team. Mm-hmm. I got him in my wild card, and things have not been like so great with Mitoma. But because over the last few weeks, let's say from game week 9 onwards, I think he's got a 2-pointer against City, a 2-pointer against Fulham, and a 6-pointer against Everton. Not bad. But if you look at Brighton's next couple of games that we have, they play Sheffield, and Forest, Chelsea, Brentford, Burnley. So, I mean, the next two games are probably the best ones. Obviously, this game week, they play Sheffield at home. So, this is the game week where I expect at least a 8 to 10 pointer from Mitoma, is what I feel.
Even if Mitoma doesn't deliver in terms of FPL returns, he actually looked really good on the eye test. So whenever you watch him play, it's not the player that you feel like you want to sell, right? And Brighton, despite them not winning for 5 games now, they are actually scoring goals. They scored goals in every game, I think, this season. But they also concede goals, and they haven't kept a clean sheet this season. So I'm very surprised that people are actually considering bringing in Luis Dunk. Because if you bring him in and he doesn't keep a clean sheet, then you can only rely on him scoring goals. And I don't think that's a good thing to rely on. And also, we have news that Estupinian is finally back training. And he'll be rested. He'll be benched for the Europa League game. So he'll start this game week. But for me, it's a wait and see, because we don't know how is he yet. Or he might aggravate the injury back again. So I think it's a wait for me, especially when Brighton is not keeping clean sheets. And also in terms of the winless streak, it's actually the longest winless streak that De Zerbi has since he has taken over Brighton. He has done it once when he started taking over the team. After drawing 3-3 with Liverpool, then he, you know, including that game, he went on 5-game winless. But since then, this is the longest winless streak that he has. So I expect Brighton to win this game week. So Mitoma should be fine, especially now that he has led the team in terms of XGI, XA, and third in XG. So this is completely opposite with last season, because last season he was producing the goals and assists, but his XG was really low. So this season, I think he became the really the talisman of the team. So I think he'll do pretty well in this run of good games.
I really hope. That's what I'm going to say. Nothing else. We'll go on to the next one. Darwin Nunes. Okay, a lot of managers will be basically getting pissed off, but Nunes keeps sponsoring significant opportunities. And yeah, there's a laugh when we say that, including open goal. Is he still a justifiable punt? In my opinion, yes, he is. Because when he hauls big. That's the joke with Darwin Nunes. He scores one, he somehow manages to keep on scoring. So that's how he is. That's how he plays. So I think those who've got him in have obviously considered that and have got him in. It's not like you expect him to be like Haaland, score everything he gets. So I don't think there's anything wrong. Considering Nunes, there's nothing wrong for that price, and that ownership is around 60%. I think it's still a good pick.
Yeah, have you watched that open goal miss? I really can't believe how he missed that that goal. I think Salah can't believe it as well. Yeah,
they all have enjoyed a lot now over the last 2 years playing with it.
Yeah, and also if you look at the stats as well, his out of all the players, he's third in big chances. So he's only behind Haaland and also our beloved Jackson at second place.
Jackson is my favorite player. I got him in game week one. I had him since the first draft, game week. Every week, it's Jackson's week. He had Jackson is. I think we have the next question also with Jackson. So I think let's just answer the Nunes one. I think it's obviously he's still a good punt, is what both of us agree. We'll go to the next. Doku's recent brilliance. Flickmore generally strong FPL choice, or should we go and contribute potential Jackson? So these are two good, interesting players. The issue with Doku is that we don't know when he's going to get benched. That's the problem. Any attacker from City, if he's nailed, is obviously a better pick than most of the midfielders in the game. But out of all the randomness, someone or the other gets benched, Doku gets benched, Grealish gets benched, Foden gets benched. We don't know when who's going to get benched. That's the thing. So whenever he starts, we have seen that the way he's been playing this season, I think if there is some assurity on starts, I think he's a good option for that price. But that's the thing with Pep. We never know who's going to play and who's not.
Yeah, but for sure, I think this game week is secure because Grealish have started the Champions League game. I think when FPL price Doku when he first arrived, I don't think they expected so big impact that Doku has in the team. Maybe they expect him to be some sort of impact sub. That's why they price him at 6.5 million. And he's still now 6.6 million. I think it's very affordable for all the teams. And it's also the cheapest way to get into City attack alongside with Bernardo. And of course, as you mentioned just now, we cannot predict Pep Roulette. So if you get him for this week, then you're not sure whether he'll start again the next game week as well. And Jackson, I actually checked after his hat trick how many people rush in to transfer him in. Not a lot. He's around 28k transfers in, which is not close at all to the top 10 transfers in. I think a lot of people are traumatized by his early season form. So, and also his hat-trick come against a nine-man Spurs team, and also a Spurs team playing a high line. So he still have four tough games to go, and I think the opponents won't be playing the high line as well against Chelsea. So
For Jackson, there's a clear explanation that we have. I mean, logic says that if you look at Chelsea's run of games that we have, right? So Chelsea's fixtures turns in game week 16, as we all know. So I think that's the time you should actually look at players like Jackson. And I think Nkunku should be back by then, or around that mark. So that will also hugely impact Chelsea's attack and how well it's going to play. So we need a wait and see, but for me, I think for most of us, we have a clear answer that Jackson is someone to watch and monitor, like how consistently he gets and how he improves. And if he starts looking good, then it's game week 16 for him to get him in. Well, then let's look at the next couple of dilemmas that we have. Okay, Udogie, Romero, Maddison, what's the best course of action for these players? I think Udogie, Romero are obviously suspended. Maddison, I'm not sure the thing is that we don't have Maddison trained yesterday. That's the thing. And I think when Pedro Porro didn't train or something, so I don't know what is the current problem with Spurs at the moment. As you said, alongside Newcastle, they probably have a lot of players ruled out.
I think
Maddison is someone, we had something very similar at the start of the season, where Maddison was injured and all of a sudden we know what happened.
And also Van de Ven is out for long term as well, which I think is a big blow for Spurs, especially after his solid performance game after game. So if you look at the available defenders for Spurs right now to start the game against Wolves, not a lot. Especially you mentioned Porro as well, is doubtful. So they might probably play Porro, Emerson Royale, Dyer and Davies if Davies get fits in time. Otherwise, they have Phillips. I haven't heard about this player before, a youth player as well. Or maybe they have to play the midfielders, probably some out of position. So not the good news for especially Porro owners as well. If you expect him to keep a clean sheet, I don't see that happening with them travelling away to Wolves. Also, I think if you own Maddison and both Son and Maddison, I think this is a good chance to get rid of Maddison, because if you look at their fixtures coming up, Spurs fixtures coming up.
Wait, has the deck not changed just once again?
If you look at Spurs fixtures coming up, after Wolves, they have Villa, City, West Ham, Newcastle. So four very tough game. And do you really want to own Son and Maddison going to all these games? So right now, if you have a chance, probably you can sell Maddison. And if you want who to buy in, probably you can target Arsenal players. I think one of the questions, I think in the chat box mentioned that maybe you can check one of the questions. They said that they want to sell Maddison for Martinelli or Saka. So, it depends on Saka's fitness, I think, for this game week, right? If he's fit, I think I would bring Saka. But I have Martinelli right now, and I'm equally happy with him as well. So both, could do well against Burnley, because right now, Burnley, I think, is quite hopeless. I think they're even worse than Sheffield United. At least Sheffield United in recent weeks showed some promise after that 8-0 loss. I'm not sure how company can transition from dominating the championship into the Premier League. I think he's a bit of culture shock at the moment on how to adapt.
That's how Premier League is.
Yeah. But I think the second question, can Spurs manage effectively without them? Definitely they will struggle in this game week.
They will. We'll see. But we'll see how Ange does. And it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, they've lost a lot of players. So with Madison, we need to wait and see what we get the latest update. Mm-hmm. Because even I have Madison, so I'm not sure. But yeah, we'll see based on that.
Okay, next one is your favorite question. Because we have Bruno as our cover this week, so you have to answer this one. Will you buy, I think you don't have Bruno right now, right, in your team? So will you consider bringing him in?
Okay, so with United is I don't know what to say. So it feels like that we have been robbed a lot this season, especially the Champions League game. We did get robbed very well. Some of the decisions have been like astonishing. Yeah. Then even the game against Fulham wasn't like a controversy and all that. I mean, it had a lot of controversies. Again, we had to talk about the VAR. But in terms of Man United, as we know, things are not looking that good. And I mean, it was Bruno who managed to score right at the end of the game. A lot of managers lost the clean sheet points of Burnley. No, I can feel the pain from Leong there. And I mean, if you want to get the issue with United is that we don't know. United defensively are not looking that good. Attack wise, they're looking a bit lost. Do you really want to get in Bruno? Is the question. I mean, he's obviously the captain of the team, and he's someone who's very influential on the pitch. And I think the goal against Fulham showed it, and obviously he did score a penalty. So this is really an act of desperation, someone trying to play the game differently, because the next two games are United, and obviously we play Luton at home and then Everton away. And then we obviously play Newcastle, Chelsea, with a little bit tough games there. So the next two games are important, especially the Luton game is very, very important for us to get 3 points. And I expect if United score goals and win the game, I expect Fernandes to be involved in it somehow. So some way or the other. So I think he's a good shot. I think he's 8.3. He's dropped in price. So if you want to take a punt for the next 2 weeks, why not? But as a long-term move, it's not looking sensible. Obviously, the way we have been playing, we've been playing really, really bad. So, I mean, all of us had Rashford at one point. Most of us doubled United attackers at the start of the game week. Start of the season, the game week one, and it looks like it was like a year or 2 years back. It feels that way. Things have gone just from bad to worse. So, yeah, that's my in short. If you would like me to say.
Yeah,
as a differential, definitely worth considering. I just want to double check. His ownership is around 14-odd%.
Yeah.
And it's just purely if you play your own game, the different game, then he's a good shot for this week.
Yeah. And I also saw one interesting stats. In the last six games, actually, he has the second most shots just behind Son. Yeah, he actually has 17 shots in the last six games, but a lot of these shots are coming from outside the penalty area. Feels like he's trying to carry the whole team on his own. But one very interesting thing is I'm not sure why Ten Hag is very so adamant on playing with Maguire and Evans as a centre back partnership, because obviously they don't really work that well. So, do you think that he should change this up?
I'm a bit surprised. I don't know what exactly is going on. Some people are saying that Varane had a fallout with Ten Hag, or Varane is not match fit. I don't know if that's up to Rafael Varane and Eric Ten Hag to tell us what exactly is wrong. So there might be something that's the reason that's why we're not seeing him play. So I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Mm-hmm. If we get to know that Varane is going to play, then he will play. Otherwise, it's a bit surprising. We're going to end up seeing the same pairing of Van Bissaka, Maguire, Evans, and Thalo. I don't know, he doesn't trust Reguilon. And in midfield, and also he's not playing Mount. So I don't know, there are a lot of things going here and there. It's really a bit baffling and confusing with United. We don't know.
Another surprising thing is actually Højlund. He keeps scoring the Champions League. I think it's 5 goals in 4 games now. But he still yet to score in the Premier League. So I think he will score soon because he looks really good. So as we keep on recommending Højlund, week in, week out.
I always feel that he's the best option for that value. But unless he scores here, is when you actually go and try and get him in, not before that. So yeah. I think once he scores his first goal, I think he had to automatically start improving. Yeah. But in terms of United, I really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, so we go on to the last one, Crystal Palace. Again, Eze at 6.1 million. And he's currently only 3.1% owned. I think a lot of people have sold him since his injury. So should we seriously consider buying him, Eze?
I mean, if we look at Palace's next run of games, that they play Everton, Luton, and West Ham, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think for that price, he is definitely worth the shout. I mean, the closest player to that price bracket would be Mitoma. I think he's 6.5. But if you can't get to Mitoma, and you have like funds to spare for that fourth or fifth midfielder, I think he's definitely a good shot for the next few games. I think he did get an assist last game.
Yeah.
So. And he's very influential for them. So
yeah.
So he's a good player to pick.
Yeah, and he's probably the cheapest he'll ever be this season at 6.1. And if he start doing well, then he'll rise again. Yeah, so I actually considered buying him as well, but I'm not sure who to take out. So yeah, I'll just put him in the consideration list for now. And I really like Huang as well. Just something to add. Especially with Neto out, I think when you look at his last game, he looks really attacking as well. And against Spurs defense, I think it's a good time to buy Huang, maybe for one game, 1 week punts or something.
Never know, attack them on the break.
Yeah.
Let's see, it's going to be interesting. Okay. We're done with some of the, dilemmas that we've noted down. Let's look at our captaincy and the first teams and wrap up this episode. So, obviously, captaincy, why not Erling Haaland is a question. Then we have Mohamed Salah, Watkins, Son, Bruno and Mitoma. I think these are the players that I have listed down. My armband is on Haaland at the moment. Who do you think? Who are you going to go for?
I'm surprised there are no Arsenal players here because they are playing Burnley. So
I missed out. I wanted someone to point it out. So that's why I kept quiet.
Yeah, I think Sam Cup is if he's here, then he'll point out that we probably want to captain Nketiah if he's as a differential captain if he's fit. But I think Saka, Martinelli, both good choices. But you're not sure whether Saka is fit or not. So yeah, Martinelli probably he'll get one or two attacking returns, not more than that. I think Salah and Watkins are both good options because of how strong both teams are at home especially against weaker opponents. So I think you couldn't go wrong with either Haaland, Salah or Watkins. So we go back to this trio again and the debates go on.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting for Haaland, especially, I think Chelsea will pretty much use Thiago Silva to mark him.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, Man City have always, I mean, it's Poch against Pep. So we need to see how they play. And if somebody doesn't want to go to Haaland, I think obviously you have Salah and you have Watkins. Obviously they play Brentford at home and... It's a home game, so obviously back Liverpool to play better. And yeah, Mitoma against Sheffield is also not bad shot. So just putting those names.
I think we have a question in as well in the chat saying that Trippier as captain, is it a viable option? Like actually just now, there's a risk of him being played a left back. Most probably not, but might happen at some stage during the game. And also, with us having so many injuries going to Bournemouth away, Bournemouth is quite attacking this season, playing a high line, so I can see us conceding. So it's a big risk, I think, with so many other good options, probably you don't want to captain Trippier. Yeah.
What makes sense.
Yeah.
I would never even think of doing that at this point. Okay, let's
if anyone you want to captain from Newcastle, probably you can punt on Gordon if Wilson is out. Probably he'll play as more centrally, but I think you have more better options elsewhere. Yeah, so we look at my team. So in terms of goalkeeper, of course, I have no choice now. With Turner losing his place, I think he'll continue to lose his place. I think I still can't pronounce that guy's name, Vlachodimos, right? I think he should be the next.
I'll be very bad, so that's the reason I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, I think he should be the next, the number one goalkeeper for Forest, I think, for a few game weeks now. So I have to play Leno. I don't put a lot of hope on him because he's going to Aston Villa away. Obviously, Villa has won so many consecutive home games. And defensive-wise, I'll go with Cash, Saliba, and Guardiola. With Stones and Akanji, it's out. So I think Guardiola should be starting the game. And also Saliba, of course, is a no-brainer. And Cash, he's back training. And he's available for the Europe game as well. So should be a good news. And in terms of midfielder, of course, I go with the five I have. Bowen, home against Forest, I think should be fine. And Bomo away at Liverpool. Hopefully, he can keep up his good form. Adingra, so far, he haven't shown a lot. But home against Sheffield United should be a good choice as well. Then we have Salah and Martinelli. And striker-wise, Haaland and Watkins. So I don't think I have many options on the bench that is capable of replacing the starters. Colville against Man City, Bayer against Arsenal, Wissa against Liverpool. I don't really want to start them. So the question is whether I want to do a transfer or roll the transfer. So far, I'm leaning more towards rolling. And also, yeah, in terms of captain, of course, you can see my captaincy is on Salah, home against Brentford. I can see him doing well. And also vice-captain on Watkins. So those are the two good options that I mentioned just now. And I completely ignore Haaland in this one. Yeah, so it's totally opposite from your captaincy choice. So maybe you can explain a bit on your rationale of choosing Haaland.
So this is my team, and you have Areola playing. I don't expect anything more than 2 or 3 points. Mm-hmm. I have Simikas, so yeah, I'm just hoping that he plays. Cash and Gabriel, Madison. So the issue in my team is pretty much I have two transfers. So last week what I did was I wanted to do Pern to Gehi, but I didn't do it last week, and I wasted my transfer by not doing it. So I still have two transfer for this week. So now I'm going to probably do that move. On hindsight, I should have done, but nevertheless. So more or less, I will do Burn to Mark Gehi or Mitchell, one of them. So that if I need an auto sub, right, has to be ready. That's the thing. And Madison, I just hope that he's fit enough to play. I'm not looking to get Madison now. Even if he's out for 1 week or so, I will probably play Gehi or someone in place of Madison, because for me, I feel Madison is a long-term pick. He's someone who you need to back and keep throughout the season. That's what my thinking is. So pretty much this is my team, and I have Haaland. He's Haaland. That's it. I'm not going to justify anything more. We know what he can do. The last week was not good. Obviously, he blanked just 45 minutes. And every week is not going to be the same. you need to look at it that way and just move on. That's it.
One thing you can do is to keep Maddison, even if there's no news about him, I think, because I like Archer on the bench against Brighton. Brighton haven't have kept a clean sheet so far. So if Maddison is not fit, then Archer comes in and he has a good chance to score against Brighton's defense. Yeah, so you still might be fine.
Yeah, I might be, but I need to transfer out Tambor, so that's my priority.
Yeah,
so
yeah, probably.
That's the only one more I'll do.
Yeah, because if you don't sell Burn, then if one of Tsimikas or Gabriel doesn't play, then you have to play Taylor against Arsenal, which is scary. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. That's it. I think we are done. And with this episode 23, right? Gimmick 11 didn't go to plan. Hopefully, gimmick 20 does.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of interesting games this week. Hopefully, things turn out the right way for most of us. All of us are having a terrible season so far in terms of ranks, but who cares? We're just playing the game for fun.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, that brings us to the episode's end. Hope you all had a nice time tuning in, those who are watching this live or those who watch us on YouTube, post the stream and listen to us on audio platforms. Do drop us a like and subscribe to our channel. Drop us a rating on the audio platforms. We'll be back for game week 12 at 3 as usual with Joe, and we'll see how things go for game week 12. And in terms of the previous stream, we'll see you all guys post international break.